Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we go worldwide to a worldwide audience unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. It's so good to be here with you on New Year's Eve. By the time you hear this, maybe it's New Year's Day, and nothing I talk about now will really matter much, because if we make it through New Year's Eve without some sort of catastrophe, I will consider it this close to a miracle. Yes, yes. So you ask, why? Why New Year's Eve? Why do you want to do a show? Well, we were hoping to get in one more write-off before the end of the year. We're going to write this one off. All right, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. All the expenses related to this show will be written off before the so-called conservatives in Washington with their latest effort at a socialist tax reform. Before that, scribbles and mixes and mingles and shifts and adjusts and bungles and boggles and bamboozles all the tax structure and the write-offs and what are the loopholes? Aren't there the loopholes? Are going to get rid of those? Yes, yes. The deductions, those are on their way out. And then now they've broken it down into a simple 16 bracket system. It's like the NCAA tournament now. Trying to do your tax. So there, we're going to write this one off. So we wanted to come to you on New Year's Eve, and we're glad that you're here. And hopefully we all survive until morning without some catastrophic event occurring. Do you think that we all live in a heightened state of just anxiety anymore after all the mass shootings and all that? This morning in Colorado, just another day in Colorado. This morning, five police officers shot by one maniac in an apartment complex. Five police officers, two civilians shot. One police officer was killed. Just some maniac who wanted to commit suicide by cop, and he ends up shooting himself. Just despicable. Just another day in America. Just another apartment complex down the street. Yes, yes, yes. I fear that 2018 will be the year that it becomes... Well, that it becomes depressingly clear that peace is being taken from us. I was walking through the grocery store yesterday. Walking through the grocery store, me and the whole family walking through the grocery store in sub-freezing weather, miserable outside, and just filling our rolling cart, filling our basket with everything we wanted. There was no want, there was no need, there was just... Do you want this? Well, put it in the basket. And so I looked around in that moment at all of the other people walking around the grocery store in some sub-freezing, brutal weather. And nobody had a want or a need. Nobody was cold. Nobody was thirsty. Nobody was hungry. This nation is so blessed for a nation that has taken peace from the womb, which is the one place that I can assure you God is paying attention. Now, there's other places that God is not paying attention. Aspen, Colorado over this past week is one of them. I'll get to that in a moment, though. But the womb is a place where God pays attention every day to every single child. And so how long, O Lord, will you allow a nation that slaughters its children to experience the peace and the prosperity and the blessing that we have experienced? I had to look around and just wonder about that. That was yesterday at the grocery store. Let's go to Aspen where God was not paying attention. Yes, I know some people insist that God has to pay attention to everything all the time. I disagree. I don't think he has to, and I think he's generally not paying attention to too much of what's going on around here. Because if he were, surely things would not be as they are. Surely there would be death and destruction rained down upon the wicked men of this earth But no, no, I think he's generally not paying attention because he's paying more attention to other things. Not in Aspen, though. Nine News reported that Vice President Mike Pence was staying in Aspen over this past week. And some neighbors at the house he's renting up there, they hung up a banner in front of their driveway so that the vice president could see it. It was a giant banner with giant letters written on a rainbow background, and it said, "Make America Gay Again." Yes. Again? Make America Gay Again? Was America ever gay?
Yeah, it used to be happy.
We used to be happy. We used to be able to gather into large groups without worrying about being machine gunned in the streets. So we were happy in that sense. But I suppose if you went to the neighbors here at Mike Pence's house, they would tell you how Thomas Jefferson and George Washington were all homosexuals, along with their slaves and all of that. Anyway, make America gay again indeed. So God was not paying attention, though, there in Aspen because he had more important things on his mind. And we'll move on as well because, there are serious and significant geopolitical machinations occurring all over the world. In Iran, the Green Revolution that was abandoned by Barack Hussein Obama, our first Islamist president, the Green Revolution has begun again, one would hope. Protests have been going on now. I think this is the third night of protests against the mullahs and the Ayatollah Khamenei. The Iranian government says the protesters are going to pay the price. And according to the latest reports, two protesters have been shot dead so far as the protests build across Iran. And can we support these protesters? I'm somewhat... I've decided I can't support Donald Trump or Mike Pence because they're basically, I know Mike Pence gives some good lip service to Christianity, but in action, he hasn't been that impressive. And Donald Trump is just a plain old liberal. That's all. I can't support the guy. If you do, God bless you. I had an argument with a Trump supporter. I probably shouldn't say this because I've already lost a lot of audience members over the whole Donald Trump thing. Anyway, he sent me a litany of Trump's alleged victories for Christians and the culture war and that, you know, all of that. Just another gullible evangelical trying to convince me that my refusal to support liberal Democrat Donald Trump is one of the biggest mistakes of my life. Whatever. And then he called me names and he cursed at me in an email.
He showed the action.
And then, and there were a lot of misspellings, a lot of incorrect grammar. And I wrote back to him and I said, "You, to me, sir, are the epitome of a Trump voter. Too stupid to know better and just dumb enough to do something about it." Oh, I apologize. I love all you people who support Trump. I just, that's just how I feel. And if you don't like it, well, turn the show off. Go ahead. See if I care. All right. So the Iranians will Trump. Now, I will give Donald Trump credit. That's why Trump came to mind. Trump has at least tweeted his support for the protesters there in Iran. And I think even if the protesters in Iran are not perfectly in line with all of my political opinions, but I can still support them. I know, it seems a bit disjointed. I can't support American politicians who are probably more conservative than the socialists or whoever is trying to rock the boat there in Iran. I mean, they're marching for democracy. I'm generally not a fan of democracy. They're all Islamic. I'm generally not a fan, but I support the protesters. And I don't feel torn about it, but I certainly have been considering my political worldview and how it just seems so askew in the face of such monumental global geopolitical. I just hope that the mullahs in Iran are strung up by their ankles and beaten to death and flayed and skinned in the public square, and their bodies set on fire and then hosed down the drain. There. That's how I feel about the Islamic leadership in Iran. And I hope that the protesters achieve some measure of significant change in their situation there. In the meantime, from the Justice File, the Free Beacon reports that the United States Congress is now asking the Department of Justice to turn over all the documents related to what Barry Obama did regarding Hezbollah and their drug dealing, money laundering empire. Isn't this bizarre that our Congress is asking our Justice Department to turn over documents about a terrorist organization and how we might have helped them, or at least turn the other way while they help themselves? I tell you, we live in very interesting times. Yes, so you've probably heard the allegations, right, against Obama and his minions, how they disrupted a DEA investigation of Hezbollah and their drug dealing and their money laundering, not to mention the bombings and the murders and the rapes and the kidnappings. There was also drug dealing and money laundering, drug dealing into America. In the midst of the opioid crisis, who was at the heart of at least a portion of that? It was Hezbollah. And in order to get their nuclear deal done, it seems that the Obama administration put the kibosh on the DEA investigation into Hezbollah. And if that's true, everyone involved should be arrested and punished to the full extent of the law, including the former president of the United States. Now, who would have ever thought that? That there would be serious consideration that the highest leadership of the previous administration could actually be arrested for crimes they committed in office. That's something that happens in Guatemala. Can you imagine when Eisenhower was elected that he had Truman thrown in jail? No, you can't imagine that. Well, start wrapping your head around the possibility that the former administration was so criminal that it's quite possible somebody's going to have to be arrested. Congressional leaders, according to the Free Beacon, have begun a formal investigation into the matter. Yeah, right. Formal investigation that'll come to nothing. There's a sacred rule, apparently, in Washington, is that none of the ruling class ever arrest or seriously harass other members of the ruling class, no matter how despicable and criminal they are. And so that's got to come to an end. But it will probably only come to an end when something so terribly criminal is uncovered and so obvious that nobody can deny it. And I'm hoping this is it, but I do not have high hopes. Let's see here. Yeah. All right, so there you go. Meanwhile, on the high seas, from the War File, the Telegraph in London reports that intelligence sources have pictures. They have pictures of tankers transferring oil to North Korean ships. As a matter of fact, in South Korea, the government there actually seized a Hong Kong flag tanker that transferred tons and tons and tons of refined petroleum onto a North Korean boat in international waters back in October, in obvious violation of the latest round of unsanctions. I said unsanctions against the North Koreans. Not only have they actually confiscated an actual ship that they actually watched and actually videotaped in flagrant violation of the unsanctions, they apparently have surveillance photos of all kinds of ships. Chinese ships, Hong Kong ships, Russian ships. Selling oil to the North Koreans in violation of the Unsecurity Council's resolution there. According to Unsecurity Resolution 2375, members are not permitted to carry out the ship-to-ship transfer of any goods bound for North Korea. But satellite photos have apparently identified at least 30 occasions since October, since just that has occurred. And it's on videotape, by the way. And so you've got to hope that Donald Trump, despite being a liberal and despite not having lifted one finger to help any one of the innocent children that are being slaughtered in our neighborhoods across America and poisoned with pills from Walgreens, he hasn't lifted a finger, not a fingernail. But maybe he'll do something about the North Koreans, the Chinese, the Russians, as we sit here on the brink of 2018 and quite possibly World War III. I call for some fireworks. Yes, fireworks for New Year's Eve. Or the next time, just the next time we see a ship transferring anything to a North Korean ship, make sure we get it on videotape. And then you get on videotape where you blow both ships out of the water. And then you, well, you dress up the tape so that it's not obvious and we don't reveal any sensitive sources of intelligence. And you send a VHS tape to Don Lemon and you give him the exclusive. Hey, Donnie boy, run this, baby. Put that on the air. Suddenly there were two ships and now there are no ships. I know that sounds extreme, right? That we would blow a Chinese merchant vessel and a North Korean merchant vessel out of the water for violating the unsanctions. Well, until we do that, they're just unsanctions. And I can assure you that Eisenhower would have done it during the Cold War. He would have blown the ship out of the water. And so anyway, we'll see. But that's going to have to come to a head at some point very soon. And better to do it while we have the advantage, in my opinion, which I do believe we have. So now we go to the decline and fall file. Yes, if you listen to the Weekly Worldview, you know that this show is generally a very pessimistic and jaded analysis of the decline and fall of Western civilization as it occurs in slow motion right before our eyes, all around us. But there are islands, you see, islands of sanity, the McBurney compound being one. There are other islands. Hopefully you're on the island out there. You're one of the islands restraining the collapse of Western civilization. I hope you are. Well, if you're listening to this show, there's a good chance you are. And thank you for your contribution to the future of Western civilization. We go now to the BBC, where the decline is continues. Yes, yes. In Berlin. In Berlin, where New Year's celebrations are happening, I believe they're probably over by now as we go to air. They have set up safe zones for women. Yes. Yes, during the New Year's Eve festivities in Berlin, there will be a safe zone for women that will be set up by security forces to prevent women from being assaulted by gangs of men with migrant backgrounds, the BBC says. These are men with migrant backgrounds. That means they are Muslim fanatics who once a year they get drunk and rape everyone in sight and within their grasp. And it's a regular happening in the Middle East, a regular happening during festivities of all kinds. And so what is the German solution? A safe zone for women. Uh-huh. Well, I think the German people need to wonder, why is it that the safe zone for women in Germany doesn't go from the eastern border to the western to the southern and to the northern border? That should be the safe zone for women within Germany. And the fact that security forces have to set up a safe zone for women is an indication that, well, things certainly need to change in Germany. For crying out loud, you can't go to a celebration without concern that your wife, your sister, your daughter could be raped and assaulted. How is that tolerated? Oh, well, all the men in Germany are drugged out, sex-obsessed, homosexual perverts. Well, not all of them, I'm sure, right? There's probably islands working to try to keep Germany from being sucked down into the swirling, sucking eddy of despair as it heads toward the drain. There are some islands, but for the most part, the majority of all Europe are a bunch of sex-obsessed perverts drugged out of their minds. Otherwise, they wouldn't be allowing the Muslims to overrun them, rape their women, and force them to set up safe zones. You have to be an insane person to tolerate that sort of governance. But there they are. And so that's why civilizations collapse and disappear. All right, now, from the new normal file. Yes, I said this is from the new normal file here at the Weekly Worldview. Now imagine this. You go in to see your OBGYN for your yearly exam, and you expect and maybe even request a nurse, a female nurse. Does that seem normal that you would want a female nurse for that type of situation there? It seems like you would, because you'd be a woman, I would assume, although I don't want to judge anyone. If you go in for one of those type of exams every year, let's assume you're a woman and you want a female nurse. Well, that happened to a woman in England. The Times of London is reporting that when the female requested a nurse, a female nurse, to perform her examination, she found herself embarrassed and distressed when the nurse showed up with a 5 o'clock shadow and a deep voice. The woman pointed out that she said, excuse me, I had requested a female nurse.
Excuse me, my gender is not male, I'm a transsexual.
Well, the poor woman decided not to go ahead with the examination. I think I'll excuse myself, thank you very much. Congratulations on your whole transition and all that, and good luck with all that. I'm going to go anywhere else but here right now. After she fled, the building, she told her friends. She said, "It's just weird." She said it was really weird. Someone says to you, "My gender is not male," and you think to yourself, "Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? You're not male. You're clearly a man. What does that mean?" So here's a woman, this poor woman in England, being forced to look face to face into the reality of the decline and fall of Western civilization and the new normal in England, where I wonder if this woman's been arrested yet, because she gave an interview to the Times where she said it was weird and that person was clearly a man. I think that's a crime in England for her to say that. She's insulted and damaged the human dignity of a transgendered, what do they call themselves in England? A transgendered Englishman. No, not an Englishman.
I like this person.
I like her. This is a lady who just said it like it is. What does that even mean? Your gender is not a male. There you go. That's the new normal, though. The transgendered freak who scared and freaked this lady out. By tomorrow, he'll be a hero all over England, and she'll be in jail if there hasn't been a massacre. If the Islamists or the heathens haven't committed some massacre that draws everyone's attention to that, then the attention will be drawn to the persecution of this poor woman who was scared off by a creepy dude with a 5 o'clock shadow and a deep voice telling her his gender is not male. All right. We'll probably have to start some sort of fundraising effort to keep her out of prison, poor lady. All right. Now, speaking of the trannies and the freaks, we have another story here from the Decline and Fall file. This is as reported by the San Francisco Chronicle. The Pentagon says that it is going to allow trannies to enlist in the military starting on Tuesday. Yes, despite the fact that the commander-in-chief said that will not happen, the Pentagon now says it will happen. To which any sane, normal person says, what are you talking about? The commander-in-chief of the military says, this is the policy, and who tells him it's not? Can somebody clarify this for me? When the commander-in-chief says this is the policy, who has the authority to tell him it's not? Nobody. I mean, Congress could issue articles of impeachment. They could take him through a trial if they think he's doing something wrong. But nobody has the authority to say this, but apparently somebody does. So you ask yourself, how is it that generals, colonels, lieutenant colonels, how is it that they can defy the commander-in-chief? How is that? Well, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, there is legal pressure from two federal courts who have ruled against the commander-in-chief on his opinion that trannies should not be allowed to enlist. And let's see. The judges are going to overrule the commander-in-chief, and, well, maybe they won't. Here's another chance for Donald Trump to earn some measure of respect from me is on Monday morning, or Tuesday, I guess, right, because of the holiday. On Tuesday morning, anyone who accepts a tranny into the military should be arrested. And the general, the colonel, the whoever it is, anyone who participates in that should be arrested under the Uniform Code of Military Justice and thrown in the brig, for crying out loud. And we'll see if that happens. It should happen. They say that these judges say that recruits are going to be allowed if a medical provider certifies. Listen to this. If they've been certified that they're clinically stable in the preferred sex for 18 months and are free of significant distress or impairments in social, occupational, or other important areas. So they have to be free of distress. Okay, so here's a guy who wants to become a girl or vice versa. By definition, they're not free of distress. They're the definition of distress, for crying out loud. But some judge is going to tell the President of the United States, who keeps telling us how conservative he is and how he's for law and order and the rule of law and all of that. Well, Tuesday morning, this is going to come to a head. And I certainly hope Mr. Trump exercises his due authority and stops the trannies from invading the military. And we shall see. All right, so there we have that. Now, reason number 1,117 to keep or get your children out of the government schools. Down in Georgia, the New York Post is reporting that a teacher there in Georgia, he's in jail right now for solicitation of sodomy. I know, it's still a crime in some places. Well, now this teacher has been charged with reckless conduct by a person with HIV, having knowingly exposed a 16-year-old boy to AIDS. This is a school teacher, a 42-year-old school teacher. The child's mother found out that this teacher was having a relationship with her son in a part. Okay, well, a relationship, that's kind of a, okay. The mother said her son left home. She found the car in the park. She catches the teacher. This is just disgusting. The school district says that the teacher was immediately terminated, and he was also fired from a part-time job as a sheriff's deputy there. There in Georgia. His bail has been set at $150,000. Bail? Bail? Have you people lost your minds? That's right, he was already in jail, you see, for solicitation of sodomy. Yeah. He was already in jail, that's right. Or, okay, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I think we get the idea. He was in jail for solicitation of sodomy, which is still on the books, apparently, in Georgia. What is this? So how is it that you can have gay bars in Atlanta if solicitation of sodomy is a crime? Well, obviously that's not, what do you call it? Equal enforcement of the law. I guess there are some parts of town that are just dirty and filthy and we choose to turn our heads and look the other way, I guess. Because, anyway, all right. So there's reason number 1,117 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. We move on now. We go across the pond to that fine nation, our brothers and cousins there, two nations separated by a common language there in Britain. For reason number 1,116, to get or keep your children out of the public schools, at least in Great Britain. We have, let's see here, 10-year-old children are being asked by England's National Health Service in surveys at school whether they are, quote, comfortable in their gender. Yes, that's a survey question that's asked by the National Health Service. Children are given a form, as you can well imagine in the government schools. They have lots of forms, check boxes. Choose A, B, C, D. You remember all that? Well, on this form, there's a question. Do you feel the same inside as the gender you were born with? And then in parentheses, feeling male or female, just in case you're too stupid to understand the question. Since you are in the government schools, you may be too stupid to understand what that means. But just in case, we want you to question whether you're male or female. Not to put too fine a point on it, Johnny and Sally, but that's what we want to find out. Youngsters are asked to tick a box in regards to their, quote, true gender. What is your true gender? And then there's more than one option. Yes, there's boy or girl and other, just so no one's offended. And they can tick a box, and there you have. So parents have been told there in England that the National Health Service survey helps health workers and teachers develop, quote, better ways to understand and support the children we want to molest. Oh, I'm sorry, I added that part.
Children who may be struggling with their identity. You understand?
Oh, the children weren't struggling with their identity, you pervert, until you gave them three options for what their identity is. And implied that they could question their identity, because before that they hadn't questioned their identity, but you're a pervert and a child molester. And so there you go. Yes, I think people who encourage innocent young children to question their gender are perverts and child molesters, and they should be arrested, and upon due conviction, they should be punished to the full extent of the law. There you go. So, and that's considered radical now. I'm a radical because people want to molest children. I want them arrested. I'm a radical. I'm a hater. All right. Yeah, I was actually accused of being a hater by other Christians on a Christian website. There was an article about, it was on a website called firstthings.com where it's a bunch of homosexualist evangelicals. Yes. And I forget what the article was about, but I basically said that homosexuality and adultery should be against the law. And I got pounced on by all these limp-wristed evangelicals. Now, they didn't say a word about adultery. That I slipped that one right past the goalie. But they saw homosexuality, and they told me about equality for the LGBT community, how I'm some sort of religious supremacist. And anyway, I accuse them of being sex perverts there. Because, if you advocate that sort of thing, I can only assume one thing about you. Is that you're on the make, okay? That's what I assume. Maybe you're just a super tolerant, very nice person. But I assume you're on the make and that you're going to harm children. So there. Now, we go from there to KXAN Radio. In Texas, Williams County, Texas, for reason number 1118, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of government schools, a former teacher in the Leander Independent School District was arrested a couple weeks ago on charges of having an improper relationship with a high school student. Let's see. Oh, here we go. This was a sixth grade teacher. She was arrested after police found out she had an ongoing romantic relationship with a 16-year-old boy she met at church. She met him at church, yes. At the church, by the way, this is the church at Canyon Creek, there in Leander, Texas. She was a volunteer youth administrator. So, what is that? Well, here's a warning. If you're looking for a church to join and they have volunteer youth administrators, you might want to go the other way. I don't know what that is, but I don't want any of those at my church. Thank you very much. I think we can do without that. A letter was sent to parents by the middle school, as you can well imagine, as they were somewhat embarrassed. Principal Sandra wrote home to all the parents to let them know that the encounters, that's how she describes the relationship between the adult female teacher. Well, I don't know that it was a female. Yes, she was arrested. Okay. An adult teacher who identifies as a woman had a relationship with a 16-year-old who identifies as a boy, as far as we know. And we're not going to make any judgments on that. They had encounters, according to Principal Sandra. But she assured parents that the encounters never took place at a Leander Independent School District function or facility. Just so our hands are clean here. It never would, not on the bus, not in the school, not in the classroom. These encounters took place elsewhere.
In church?
Well, I think they took place at the church, but let's see. The representative, a Republican representative there, pointed our attention here to the Senate Bill number 7, which just went into effect. This is a new bill by the Republicans to counter inappropriate relationships between teachers and students. So they wrote a new law down in Texas. which you've just got to wonder how it is that voters are so gullible and so stupid that they elect Republicans who say we're going to pass laws to stop teachers from molesting students. And you think, well, wait a second. Don't we have like 150 years of existing law against that? And you want me to contribute to your campaign, huh? All right, well. Yes, they've put in place stricter penalties. Stricter penalties for non-compliance. What does non-compliance mean? That means when you rape a student, that's non-compliance. And stricter penalties for not reporting. What does that mean? That's when you videotape another teacher raping a student and then you don't report. Yeah, that's we're going to have stricter penalties for that. And there's a threat now. It's possible that teachers, who are either non-compliant or who are not reporting could lose their pensions. Yes, they could lose their pensions. I'll tell you what they should lose. There's a couple things they should lose right off the bat. The first one being their life. You rape a student, you should be executed. I know, that's radical, right? Rape children, you should be put to death. Call me a radical. You're all suicidal. You're all a bunch of suicidal idiots. You're going to tolerate and work for equality with the LGBT community, and you're going to declare yourselves Christians. I'm talking to you perverts over at First Things, by the way. You're all a bunch of suicidal morons, and I'm not going over the cliff with you, all right? That's all. Let's see here. Between September 1st and November 30th, the Texas Education Administration has opened up 68 cases involving inappropriate relationships with a student or a minor. That was just for the last fiscal year. Meanwhile, over at the church at Canyon Creek, the senior pastor released a statement because there's no way he wanted to stand up and take any questions. Pastor Monty released in a statement that we ask for prayers for all involved, including the rapist or the molester. I don't understand this. All right. He said other things in the state. Our hearts go out to the family. We're working with authorities. We're fully cooperating. There's an investigation. Nowhere in his statement does Pastor Monty say, keep your kids out of the public school, and whatever you do, don't come to my church. Because we've built an environment with a bunch of child molesters. Well, at least one. That's one too many. He never says, get your kids out of the public schools. No, gives no warning against his volunteer youth administrators. I mean, here's a guy who should resign in disgrace, put a coat over his head, and jump into the back of a car and be sped away, never to be seen again. If he had any dignity. Anyway, but there you go. He's probably in the pulpit today talking about how sad and horrible it is that all this is happening. This is obviously the work of the devil against the church. All right. Now, we're going to go. Where are we going to go? Yes, a new file, the Trump That File. I said this is from the Trump That File. Chai Feldblum. Which is not a new type of tea. Chai Feldblum is the architect of Barack Obama's bathroom policy. She's the head of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. No, none of us ever heard of her before. I never did. But she's the architect of the whole boys in the girls' room and trannies in the bathroom. That all came out of her office, all right? Well, she has been renominated by Donald Trump to head the EEOC. That's right. And the reporter here, Paul Meyergoff at Powerline Blog, he's a conservative blogger. He pointed out the peculiarity of Trump's renomination of what he calls Obama's most liberal gender ideology activist, who, in his opinion, says whenever LGBT issues conflict with religious liberty, private property rights, liberty and property rights should lose to the fags. That's basically, he doesn't put it quite that concisely, but that's, but he does says, Paul over at Powerline says, why is it that Donald Trump is renominating someone whose views are antithetical to much of Trump's stated agenda? What stated agenda on the homos? What stated agenda does Donald Trump have other than holding up the homo flag there at his rally, his pep rally there? That was the only statement I saw that he made. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, renomination of a radical LGBT activist. Listen to this. This is why you people are wrong about Donald Trump. This is just one of the many reasons. This is one of the many reasons I think that you people are too stupid to know better and just dumb enough to do something about it. Because this tranny, pervert, freak, lesbian, whatever she is, faced fierce resistance the first two times that this radical activist was brought up before the Congress for confirmation. Why? Because Barack Obama was president and Republicans gave lip service to all you gullible evangelicals out there. And they at least put up some kind of fight against this pervert who's going to be in charge of a major government office. Well, now, Paul Meyergoff at Powerline reports that this same pervert is on the verge of being confirmed with virtually no fuss now that the White House and Senate are controlled by Republicans. First things first, we're gonna change the rules. Better listen up, all you boys and girls. Your prayer says there'll be no after school. So vote for me, now wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, 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 yeah. And now I know there's trouble in the Middle East. I span on my money when I stop the arms race. All my brothers in the desert gonna have those other feasts. When that's gone, then we'll start a world peace. Santa Claus brought me the flu for Christmas, and so I've been down for quite a while. My pipes are, well, I'm in physical pain right now. I think I need a pill or something. But let me continue here because we're rounding third and headed for home here in the final broadcast to be written off. We're going to write it off this year before they change the rules, and we're glad to have you here. We'll go to the personhood file where I will remind all of you gullible evangelicals about something that I said a few weeks ago. When the story first came out that there was language inserted into the HHS guidance that allowed unborn children to be beneficiaries of college funds opened by their parents. Do you guys remember when I brought this up? I said, don't be stupid and gullible and believe that the Republicans are on the verge of a strategy to re-establish the personhood of innocent unborn children. Don't believe that. This is just a talking point so that the folks over at National Right to Life and the scam artists over at Operation Rescue can send you out a fundraising letter saying, look, we're winning. Look at this language here. It says unborn children. Look, it's great. It's going to be in the budget because we've elected all these Republicans, and it's because you supported us with your funds. Write a check now so that we can elect more pro-lifers to the... And all these stupid, moronic, gullible evangelicals wrote their checks, gave their credit cards. Well, the language was pulled before the final... Just like I told you, I said, this is just a bone for the gullible evangelicals. Ron Wyden went bragging on the news. Ron Wyden, evil Democrat, come up out of the pit of hell smoking, celebrating the removal of fetal personhood language from the Republicans' tax reform bill. Yeah, that's right. By the time the final bill was signed, by our great pro-life president, what's his name there with the hair, right? And the gold on the walls. Isn't that a little weird? I mean, who gilds their walls with gold? It just strikes me as...
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar. That's what I thought when I saw a picture of Donald Trump sitting in his office at Mar-a-Lago. I'm reading through Jeremiah with the girls, and I'm thinking, this is what like Nebuchadnezzar's room looks like. Gotta have gold on the walls. It's like, please. So anyway, the final tax bill, there was no language in there that said that because the Republicans and the pro-life industry and all the other hucksters and con artists, they got what they wanted out of you people. And now at election time, you're going to remember that they were pro-life because you're an idiot. And you're gullible and you're stupid and you want to believe things that aren't true. So you're going to vote for those Republicans because you remember when they wrote the tax bill and they put that in there about those unborn children. Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, I'm here to document the fact that you're a moron and gullible and stupid if you think the Republicans have any desire to talk about the humanity and the personhood of the unborn. They have no desire, none, zero, zip, except as far as it gets them to get people like you to vote for them. And the longer you go on with that, the closer you will get to the edge of insanity, and eventually you will fall over. And you'll elect a liberal, a New York liberal with a bad hairdo, and he'll be the president of the United States. Oh, they've already gone over the edge. All right, meanwhile, we are speaking of momentous geopolitical machinations, and I want to go quickly to Axios reports that a new declassified cable from the British ambassador to China at the time of the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacres, that cable gave a minimum estimate of the people killed in Tiananmen Square at 10,000. The cable was written on June 5th, about 24 hours after the massacre. The source wrote the cable to Sir Alan Donald, the British ambassador. The source is called a good friend in a China State Council who had previously proved reliable and was careful to speculate, to separate fact from speculation and rumor. The Chinese government to this day claims that between 200 and 300 people were killed. The Chinese Red Cross estimates 2,700 were killed. A contemporaneous wire from a reliable source said at least 10,000. That was a minimum estimate. Some of the details from the declassified cable: wounded female students were bayoneted on the ground. Students were run over by tanks multiple times, time and time again, turning the students into what the soldiers of the 27th Army, by the way, who were ordered by Chinese officials to spare no one, to show no mercy. Soldiers in the 27th Army called it a pie that they created in the midst of Tiananmen Square. And it was made of students' bodies run over by tanks. The remains were then incinerated and hosed down the drain. Didn't I just call for that? That must be where I got that idea. Who did I call for them to be set on fire? Oh, the Iranian regime. That they should be hung in the public square, flayed, skinned, their bodies burned, and their remains hosed down the drain. See, that must be where I got that. Yeah. But this actually happened to innocent students just standing up, asking to have some measure of liberty and freedom with our good friends in China, from whom we get our iPhones and our Nike shoes and, well, just about everything else we have. And we get it really, really cheap. Well, this is what they really did. This is who they really are. And what does it mean? It's virtually meaningless at this point because, well, they were allowed to do that. And then, well, there you have it. And do you think they'll listen to us on North Korea? We let them get away with this. I still remember that Chinese student standing in front of that tank in Tiananmen Square. And how, do you remember how we all felt when we saw that on TV? That was intense. That was intense. And it made you proud to be an American. Because those students, they had a papier-mâché version of the Statue of Liberty. They wanted to be like America. That was their desperate cry to us to help them achieve some liberty. And when the night fell, we allowed them to mow the students down, bayonet them, burn their bodies, and wash them down the drain. Just shameful, disgusting, just horrible. All right. All right. So let's do, boy, I don't know if I want to do this. Well, let's go to Rochester, New York, where a doctor had been dating a woman for a few years. She got pregnant. She says he tried to talk her into having an abortion. She didn't want to have an abortion. She was 17 weeks pregnant, and she wanted to talk with her boyfriend about how they could raise the child. Well, he didn't want to talk about that. He wanted her to get an abortion, but she wouldn't go to Planned Parenthood to have a surgical abortion. And by the way, there was articles throughout the so-called conservative media this week celebrating the fact that Planned Parenthood closed 37 surgical abortion facilities, and I'm glad for all that, and I think it's worthy. It's of note that Planned Parenthood could be on the precipice of collapsing, finally. Just so evil and corrupt and so wicked that even the pro-aborts are getting embarrassed about Planned Parenthood. And so it's of note that they're closing facilities, but it's not worthy of celebration. Because listen what happened when this young woman who had been impregnated by her doctor boyfriend, she wouldn't go to Planned Parenthood, so what did he do? He put an abortion pill in her drink. He slipped her a mesoprostol. I'm sorry, he slipped her a mifepristone. The drug, misoprostol, was found in her system, and it caused an abortion, and the baby died. 200 milligrams of this drug induces labor. He gave her 800 milligrams. Now, the doctor is being charged with causing an abortion and premeditated killing of a fetus of another. More charges have been added. They get very creative around all these because it's very uncomfortable for the justice system to charge someone with doing what this woman and another doctor could have done voluntarily. They could have had an agreement. She could have paid him some money. He could have done it. But anyway. So the abortion clinics are closing. Yes, that's of note. But how can we celebrate as we sit here now knowing that now she doesn't have to go to a clinic? Now there doesn't have to be all this effort. You can just go to Walgreens and you get a pill. And she can do it, or the boyfriend can slip it to her. So now the chemical abortifacients are, this is going to be the age of the chemical abortion. And all these pro-life industry hacks are going to tell you how successful they've been in closing all these clinics. But how can you celebrate when this is legal? This is legal. These abortion pills are legal. And we in the church and the conservative, we've allowed it to happen. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We shouldn't be celebrating. All right, now here's something to celebrate from Baltimore, from the Personhood File. Benjamin and Tina Gibson's daughter, this is from CBS in Baltimore. Benjamin and Tina's daughter, Emma, weighed 6 pounds, 8 ounces when she came into the world on November 25th. The article says, prior to being transferred into Tina's uterus, Emma had been cryopreserved as a fetus for more than 24 years. So a 24-year-old frozen fetus was born on November 25th, a healthy, happy young girl. But this annoyed me about CBS. They said prior to being transferred into Tina's uterus. I scratched that out, and I wrote in prior to being born. Emma grew from, Emma didn't... Emma didn't somehow become viable somehow after she was transferred into the uterus, or sometime after her heart started beating, or there was a brainwave, or her mama decided not to kill her. That's not when Emma became a person. Emma was that embryo that was transferred into the uterus. That was Emma. It was Emma the whole time. That's all. Anyway, it's the longest frozen embryo to result in birth. And that's just pretty impressive. Emma was frozen. Look how they write this. Emma's embryo was frozen October 14th, 1992. As if the Emma and the embryo are two different people. It's the same person. But whatever. Students of journalism these days are taught to never imply anything All right. Now, what do we have here? A whole family in Arizona who's going through the transitioning process. We've got an 11-year-old named Mason. He's living as a boy after being assigned. Listen to this. After being assigned female at birth. As if someone forced the female sex upon the baby at birth. Let's see. He's living as a boy after being assigned female at birth. Joshua, member of the same family. Joshua was assigned male at birth, but knew from an early age that he was a girl. So Joshua's living as a girl. Mason is a girl living as a boy. And then there's the mom, whose name is Daniel. Her fiancé, Shirley, who's a guy who's living as Shirley. It's a whole family in transition. And the article is reported by KJZZ.org down in Arizona. What a wonderful bunch of people these are. Daniel, that's the presumed patriarch of the tranny clan, because Daniel's actually a girl, if I understand this. I could be wrong about that. Daniel thinks trans people have been in his family for 100 years. It's going back through the old family archives, all the old black and white photos of great-great-grandma and grandpa coming across through the Missouri Territory over in... And they were all transgendered, but they didn't know it. Well, last year, Joshua wanted to join Girl Scouts. And that's when Daniel was introduced to a word he'd never heard before, transgender. And Daniel finally realized, Shazam! Oh, my gosh! They're trans! We're all trans! And I know it's true. How do I know? Because I am, too. So Joshua came out as a trans girl. Mason came out as a trans boy. Cut his hair. And then Daniel met Shirley, who was volunteering at a nonprofit for parents of trans youth. Shirley had been married before when she started transition. Now I don't even know where I am. I don't even know who's who at the end of this article. Daniel says, we're actually very traditional people. So Daniel, the father, is a woman. The son, Mason, is a girl. Shirley, the mom, is a man. And the daughter, Joshua, is a boy. Just in case you might have lost track, I tried to put all that together there at the end. So you know what's happening as we teeter and careen toward utter insanity. And you know how this all began? You know how all this insanity began? Was when Christian evangelical gullible morons decided that homosexuality and adultery were no longer criminal. That's where it all started. And it's been a slippery slope ever since. And here's a whole family that's going to get sucked down into hell because of all you nice, nice Christians who wouldn't want to offend any homosexuals by telling them that their rebellion against the living God leads to death. Well, there's a fine how do you do. All right, that's the Weekly Worldview for this week. It's been a great year. Tune in next year. We plan to be back. We want to thank our friends at KGOV.com, at Denver Bible Church, at American Right to Life. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. Daryl, I hope you're out of surgery and you're feeling better and all of that. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.